All right, well, I'm sure everybody noticed we're not in First Samuel this evening. We're going to take a little break and deal with something else. So I'm receiving an onslaught of messages recently about a certain group of people. And rather than just to go back and forth and all that stuff through emails and texts and phone calls, I'm just going to preach a sermon about it. So if you would, we'll get started here. Look down at verse number 7. In Jude, it says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now on YouTube, the sermon title is going to say TDFs, and what that stands for is trannies, dykes, and fags, okay? That's what we're talking about this evening. Now you might say, I know all this stuff. Look, this is a sermon that, yeah, I get it, everybody in here already knows. Kind of know where we stand on this position, but this is one that you want to hear and you know it. So you're gonna congratulations. Okay. Now, this is probably honestly, maybe it's this, I don't know, you know, maybe if I had to put a number on it, maybe it's the second biggest battle that we fight. Number one's probably always going to be human achievement, right? This doctrine of probation. But right now, number two is definitely the Sodomites and all of their strange ordeals. But to start this off, I just want to prove to you beyond any shadow of a doubt, okay? If somebody wants to have a gender change, they are a Sodomite. Yep. You know, I'm getting messages, well, this individual's not a homosexual, okay? Is not attracted to the same gender or whatever, okay? Doesn't matter, still a Sodomite. Yep. Trannies, dykes, fags, they're all Sodomites, they're all reprobates, they all go to the same place, okay? Amen. That is a fact. Now, these types of people here creep into our lives, they creep into churches, and look, if you have a close family member that has gone down this road, look, I feel for you, I understand, that is a struggle. I mean, to be honest, maybe I can't even understand, you know, I mean, to the mothers and the fathers out there that have observed maybe their children go down this path, that is terrible, that is absolutely heartbreaking. And what I would say to you is watch the sermon that I preached this morning, because you're going to have a whole lot of pressure and trials on your life. But there is silver lining in that, and we don't even have time to get into that this evening. Now, keep your place there in Jude, but go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter number 23. And so kind of like how Jude starts off here, and he's like, you know, I meant to write unto you of the common salvation, but, you know, now we need to talk about contending for the faith. And that's kind of how I felt when I was reading this today. You know, I meant to preach unto you 1 Samuel chapter number 23, but I felt, you know, that we need to talk about contending for the faith. And look, we have new people in the church. You know, this stuff just needs to be out there. We need to make sure that we all understand this. But one of the things that I'm starting to hear quite often, almost weekly, whether it be out soul winning or whether it's a message sent to the church phone, and something along those lines, a comment like this, everything God says to believers and to righteous people is about loving, about forgiveness, and about peace, okay? Now, that's kind of an odd statement. It's like, well, what do you exactly mean by that? You know, I respond back with, hey, what did Jesus say about peace? Did he say, I came to bring peace and not a sword? Or did he say, I came not to bring peace, but a sword? Right. And so we're going to talk about that. That is obviously not true. When you hear stuff like that, you need to understand you're dealing with somebody who's never read the Bible. Yeah. Okay. Or they have read the Bible, God forbid, but they're not saved. Because, I mean, we're just going to comb through Matthew chapter 23 very quickly. I'm just going to show you the attitude that Jesus has regarding certain people here. So, for example, look down at verse number 13. Look at the language that's used here. Matthew 23, look at verse 13. It says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Well, that's kind of a harsh statement, isn't it? That doesn't sound like the Jesus that people keep telling me is real. Because here Jesus is calling people out for preaching a false gospel, and he's telling those people, look, you don't go in yourself. You are a reprobate. You are condemned. And all that you can do, the only thing that you can do is produce that same thing in another individual. So what these people do is they go around and they hunt and they look for converts and they make them worse than their own selves. Everything God says to believers and righteous people is about loving, about forgiving people, and about peace. That is not true. That is false doctrine. Look at verse 14. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Jump down to verse 17. "Ye fools and blind." Ye fools and blind. Does it is this crystal clear? Do you realize that Jesus called people fools, blind, condemned? Look at verse 19. Just in case you didn't get it the first time. Ye fools and blind. Look at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jump down to verse 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Now, again, what does that sound like to you? To you who are saved, that's the word of God. Amen. This is the Bible. This is Jesus Christ here, himself speaking. And by the way, he preserved these for us to read and to understand and to meditate on and to teach other people. This is the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And you know what? Just this chapter alone is enough to put pressure and to put trials and tribulations into your life. What do you think about that? Now, go back to Jude real quick. We don't have time to even get into Mark chapter 13, for example. Starting around verse 13, what does Jesus say the reason why he speaks to people in parables is? So that they cannot be saved. So that they cannot be converted. And so this idea that, well, everybody in the world can be saved no matter what they have done, no matter what they believed, all the way up until the end of their lives. Right? I've heard it time and time again. Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer, he got saved on his deathbed. Ted Bundy got saved on his death chair or whatever it was, right? These people saying stuff like that. Oh, just because someone's a pedophile today doesn't mean they can't be a born-again, Bible-believing Christian tomorrow and soul-winning and change their whole life. Well, these people in Mark chapter 13, which we didn't even turn to, they're just preaching the gospel. It doesn't even say they're pedophiles. So how much more would an abuser of children suffer condemnation? Same thing in John chapter 12. We've gone over this before, but let's back up here. Jude, look at verse number 1. So it starts off, the book starts off like this. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. What in the world does that mean? Well, that means that if you are not in that category, you will not be able to understand what is written in this letter, let alone the rest of the Bible. Because he says, the servant of Jesus Christ. And by the way, what is Jude going to tell us here? There is a certain group of people that he will tell us to be wary of, to avoid, to cut out of our lives. Think about that. Look at verse number 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Verse 7, how do we live that out? By following the example of verse 7, by not associating with sodomites. Look at verse 3. It says this, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints, right? Not the faith that was once delivered and delivered again and changed and dug up over here and over there. No, it was one time, a one-time deal, because salvation does not change. Look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, wait a second. Say, where's this condemnation coming from? What is he talking about here? Well, he's going to explain that because he's writing to people and they're fully aware of the situation that is going on in the readers are fully aware of the situation that Jude's writing about, rather. It says this, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So what Jude is saying to the reader is, hey, guess what? There are people who will creep into your church. There are people that will creep into your life, creep into your family, and they are going to turn the grace of God. What is grace? That is unmerited favor. Remember Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this unmerited favor, right, they turn that and they preach a different message. And it's a message of lasciviousness. Well, what does lascivious mean? Or I'm sorry, lasciviousness. What does that mean? It is very disgusting. Now, I'm just going to read for you this is a good definition here. I've got this book. It's called Archaic Words. I use it often to just kind of help me gain an understanding here. And I thought this was beneficial, so I'm just going to read what they wrote about this word in here to you. It says, the word lasciviousness occurs 16 times, I'm sorry, six times in the King James Bible. It was formed from lascivious, which is ultimately from the Latin lascivious, sportive. It says lasciviousness is the quality of being lascivious. To be lascivious is to be lustful, licentious, wanton, or lewd. Those are all perverted types of behaviors. Okay, you need to understand this. And then he goes on to say this. The NRSV consistently rendered lasciviousness as licentiousness, and the NASB as sensuality, and the New King James as lewdness. But the NIV could not decide on the proper word, and so they used the word debauchery. They used that three times, he says. And he goes on to say, you know, these corrections are completely unnecessary, for not only is lewd and lascivious behavior a standard charge against perverts, forms of lasciviousness are in common use also. And most writers today describe dessert trays with the same lasciviousness smirk. And I'm not going to read the rest of that, but hopefully that kind of helps you to make sense. The word lasciviousness is perverted, and that word is used today. If you go online and you read different charges, like if you go to the sometimes the website that'll show you like where all the perverts live around you, you know, all the child molesters, a lot of times if you read those charges, you'll find lewd conduct or lasciviousness behavior, stuff like that. So these aren't words that need to be changed. The point is, it's perversion. It's perversion, okay? And so what Jude is telling the reader is, hey, look, we need to be careful, because people that reject God, they might seem fine to you one day, but sometimes these people, and you're going to see, they'll go out into the wilderness, they'll go out into the wild to try to understand themselves and to find the meaning of life. And oftentimes they wind up running into the devil. And what happens is they start to come up with these vain imaginations and these evil inventions, and they start to really push that on other people. And they get to a point to where they have hardened their heart so far that God says, you know what, I am completely done with you. I'm removing natural restraint from you, and you are now done. And these people come up with all sorts of odd, strange behavior and things that they do. And that's simply what Jude is saying here. And they love to flock to churches and stuff because they want to cause damage. That is their goal. That is what they are set out to do. But he says they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And isn't that true? Who's ever been around one of these freaks at work? Everything you say or do, they want to turn into a perverted joke. Right? Every object you touch, everything that you say, they'll say, well, did you really mean this? Did I hear you say this? You know what I'm talking about. And it's frustrating. It's vexing to your soul. It's disgusting. Well, this is what they're doing. They're trying to prime people, right? Remember, these types of people, they do not reproduce. And so instead, what do they have to do? They have to recruit, which is why since the beginning of time, and you'll see this, they got, you know, these cross-dressers. Or whatever, these trans, why is that even a thing? Well, it's designed to get the natural man to soften, to lower his guard, and to basically come over to the dark side. It's a snare, it's a net, it's a trap. That is why they do that. Now it goes on to say this, in denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is so true. Anytime you talk to one of these people that claim to be, oh, I got saved, I'm a Christian too. Every single time when you really get down to what they really believe, it's turned from sins. Yeah. Or it's this verse doesn't really mean what it says. It means something else in another language. I'm telling you, that is every single one of these people. Because the Bible is true, and it tells us that these people turn the grace of our God into perversion, into lewd conduct. This is why I tell people, hey, be careful going to visit these liberal churches out here, because they are filled with TDFs. They are filled with trannies, dykes, and fags. And they will go in there and they will put on a very good show. But what they do is they bring this lascivious behavior to those that they think are weak. And they work on them and they prime them and they groom them. And they finally get them to a position to where they can get their hooks in and sink in that choke, and they are done for. They have no way out. There is no way to escape after they fall down that road. Now it says that these people are ordained to condemnation. That's some strong language there. What in the world does that mean? What does ordain mean? It means to appoint, right? I'm an ordained pastor. I was sent out from Verity Baptist Church. Pastor Menez ordained me. He appointed me to start this church here, right? That is what that means. But Jude is saying, hey, these people here, these people that take the grace of God and turn it into lewd perversion or lasciviousness, they are ordained to condemnation. Every single week I run into an appliance that I have to condemn, right? When I go over to a, for example, a front loader and the inner basket's loose, right? That's done. It's a $1,300 repair on a $700 machine. That machine can no longer be fixed. I mean, it could if you rebuild it, okay? But keep in mind, I'm using physical things to try to explain spiritual things. Basically, the point is most people aren't going to fix it. It's done for, right? Who's ever heard of a condemned building, right? A building that's, hey, it's filled with too many, you know, bacteria, asbestos, or whatever. It's condemned. We're going to demolish it, okay? That is what Jude is saying that these people are like. They have made up their minds. They know the truth, and God has given them over to a reprobate mind, a mind of rejection, and all they can do is damage. And our responsibility is to stay away from these types of people. So, again, go down to verse number 5. It says this, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now let's stop right there, because everybody wants to make this about the sin. Oh, you're saying that their sins aren't covered under the blood. No, that's not what we're saying at all. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He paid that bill. We're talking about a mindset here. So when you get into these dialogues with these people, don't let them bring you, oh, you're saying that the sin can't be free. No, I'm not saying that at all. Right. I'm not saying that at all. We're talking about the mindset of a person. We'll get into that here more in a minute. But why is Jude bringing this back into the remembrance? Because God's not destroying these people, right, because they sinned. He's destroying them because they did not believe the truth. There is a big difference there. Look at verse 6. He says this, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And we've explained that in the past. We have to move on here. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And you've heard me say this before. This is the end. This is near the end of the Bible. Genesis 19, Genesis 13, these things are in the beginning of the Bible. So from the front to the end of the Bible, the message is the same. These people cannot be changed. They cannot be made straight. They cannot be saved. We have to be wary of them because our government is trying to shove this down our throats. If they could have their way, they would make it illegal for us to ban them. And they would say, you have to have them in your assembly. And at that point, we're moving out, we're hiding from. I mean, it's not going to happen. We're not going to allow that to happen. You know, we cannot allow these people to tell us how to do church. We have a process right here, and we will follow it. So he goes on. Here, read that again. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. This is how this stuff starts. People decide of their own heart, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't want this truth. I want this. You know what? This, the truth of God, that doesn't make me comfortable. So I'm going to run to a place that makes me comfortable, and I'm going to change the Bible. This is a reason why people do this, because they don't like the truth. Oh, little Johnny or my uncle is a sodomite now, and I don't know what to do. Sure, well, I'll just make myself feel better and just change what the Bible says. That's how people deal with this pain. That's how people deal with this type of trial. And that is wrong. That is not okay. That doesn't make it any better. In fact, now you're setting yourself up for danger. Because what happens, you let your guard down. You let these beasts around your family, around your children, and they will get hurt. They will get abused. Now go to Genesis chapter number 13. Because Jude says that, hey, you know that example in Genesis chapter 19? He says, I want you to realize that those people are roasting in hellfire right now. And the very fact that they are roasting in hell, that is an example on how you are to view these types of people. So does that mean we bring them in and make them Sunday school teachers? Does that mean we bring them in and let them run the sound booth? Does that mean we bring them in and let them sit in the pews? No, because God removed them from the earth. So we can't do that legally. So how do we follow that example today? Well, we have nothing to do with these types of people. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of go back to a basic question here, and that is, what is a sodomite? What exactly does that mean? Well, the first time you're going to see that word in the Bible is in Genesis 13, verse 13. Lots of 13s. Look at verse 13. It says this, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Do you know what that means? Exceedingly. That means not common. That means not normal, right? All of us are sinners, but these fools, or they've exceeded that realm, right? They have stepped outside of what is just common to man, what is just normal. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. And look at verse 17. So what is a sodomite? Well, it's the inhabitant of a place called Sodom. What was the sin that they were guilty of? Abusing children, for one. Defiling themselves. Being queers. Men with men. Women with women. Violating God's order of creation. That is what they were guilty of, right? And so after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, this is how God views them. Deuteronomy 23, look at verse 17. It says this. "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." And you say, well, why bring that up? Well, you have to understand that it's biblical for us today to look at trannies, dykes, and fags and call them sodomites. Yep. Right. They are sodomites. God refers to that type of behavior collectively in those types of people collectively as sodomites. There's no more Sodom while Deuteronomy 23 was being penned down. But God says, hey, the people that follow that behavior, they are sodomites. Now, keep something there, because we're going to come back to this neighborhood, but just real quickly go to 1 Corinthians 10. I meant to have you turn there a moment ago, but I forgot. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And so again, the first verse that we talked about here regarding sodomites, it says that they were wicked and sinners exceedingly, right? Exceedingly before God. And I want to show you that same concept here in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 13. It says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Then he goes on to talk about idolatry. The point is here, all men, meaning mankind, there are certain sins that are just common to us, okay? And guess what? One sin that's not common is to change your gender. Yeah. That is not common, okay? When you experience people like this, and they say, well, I want to come to your church. I identify as trans. We have this out soul winning all the time. What do we always tell them? No. Now, if they say, show me biblically, could you do it? Yes, of course you can. You could say, you know what, obviously these people are reprobates, because that is not a sin that is common to man. We don't struggle with that in here. Those of us who are normal, all of us in here hopefully are normal, right? We don't struggle with wanting to be the other gender. That is not normal behavior. Yeah. It's not normal to look at a little child and desire that in a carnal way. That is unnatural. That is disgusting. That is filthy. And by the way, before anybody says, oh, well, you know, it's God's fault that these people are in the community. No, it's not, because God told you in Leviticus chapter number 20 how to deal with these people, and that was to remove them from the earth. And our government won't do that. Instead, they want to install them throughout the earth, okay? It ain't God's fault. It's the government's fault. So thank your local politician for your local pedophile. Yep. Go back to the Old Testament and go to Leviticus chapter number 18. Leviticus chapter number 18. So when you read about the men of Sodom in Genesis chapter 13, where Lot longed to go to, right? You can see now when God says, hey, they were sinners exceedingly, he's not saying, well, they robbed a bunch of banks and said a bunch of cuss words and they drank booze, okay? No, these people did filthy acts. And obviously, you know, we don't have time to go there, but you all know the story. Genesis 19, both young and old surround the house and they want the fresh meat that came into town. Okay, is that natural? No, no one in here who's, nobody in here has those desires, right? That is uncommon. So we don't have those struggles. That is disgusting. And we'll get to why their minds do that here in a moment. But furthermore, Leviticus 18, look at verse number 22. I want to show you the severity of this. It says this, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And we talked about this last week. Why do we have the law? Well, it's to make us aware of sin. Remember, the letter kills, right? The byproduct of the Old Testament is it cannot save. So therefore, it does kill. But you know, keep this in mind here, the attitude that God has towards these people. Now look at verse 23. This is another thing that's been subtly being promoted through Disney and cartoons and in the media. It says, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. Notice what he says. It is confusion. And darn right it is. That's confusion. That's, you know what Beauty and the Beast is? That's confusion. That's not okay. Yeah. That is a subtle introduction to this here. Why does God have this in the Bible? Because he knows that nations and people are going to get so wicked that they will institute this and try to push this among their people. And we have to know how to defend it. But guess what else is confusing? When somebody wants to change their gender. Yeah. They want to pose as, you know, oh, I was born male, but I want to be female. I was born female, but I want to be male. You know what that is? That is confusion. That is not natural. That is not okay. Look at verse 25. It says this, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Jump down to verse 28. It says this, that the land, so God's telling them, hey, I don't want any of this garbage in the land of Israel. The whole reason I'm allowing you to even conquer these people is because this is the stuff that they do. Remember, it's not just the Sodomites and the Gomorrites and the cities around them that were doing those types of wicked things, right? The Canaanites were doing them. A lot of the ites were doing them in the Old Testament, and God's had enough of it. And so in verse 28, it says that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. One thing that you will take away from this passage here is that sodomy, sodomites, that whole package is the only thing in the Bible that causes the earth to vomit. Right. It's not just you and I, but it's the actual ground. It's the land itself that wants to vomit these people out. Look, there's a reason why there's a bunch of earthquakes in San Francisco all the time, okay? The earth wants to vomit these people out. And someday, God will come back, there will be earthquakes, and these people are going to get vomited out into the lake of fire. It is truth. It's what's going to happen. Now go back to Jude. Go back to Jude. So what is a Sodomite? Well, originally, there are people that lived in the land of Sodom. Now they are people who do unnatural things, things that are confusing, things that cause the earth to want to vomit these people out of it. You know, this Elon Musk guy, he wants to, you know, start life on Mars. I hope he packs up all these fags and trannies and dykes and sends them up there. You know, let them get the hell out of here. Anyway, so that's kind of an explanation there, if you will, of Jude 1, verse number 7. So again, off that verse there, let's look at verse number 8. He says, likewise, now notice how he describes these people. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. If you ever have to work around a sodomite, or if you ever watch the news, CNN, for example, they have sodomite news anchors. All they do is spew out evil of dignities. Yeah, even though Trump did a lot of stuff for them, they hate his guts. And they speak evil, they speak hurt, they speak lies. I mean, the guy's not in office anymore, and these people are hell-bent on trying to make it so I guess he can't even eat food. They want to arrest the guy and lock him up in a prison and throw away the key. Where does that attitude come? Oh, it comes from these people here. But notice what Jude says. They are filthy dreamers. Everything that they devise, everything that they imagine, everything that they want to implement is filthy. It's disgusting, and it defiles the flesh. So let me ask you a question. Is gender changing part of that? Yes, it is. We know that because it's confusion. It's disgusting, and it defiles the flesh. How much more of a defiling of your flesh could you get than going to visit Dr. Chop Chop Snip to change your gender? Give me a break. Don't tell me that it's, oh, well, they're not sodomites. Get real. Get real, man. All right, I got to stop here. Go back to Genesis chapter number one. Back to the book of Genesis, rather. So again, how else do these filthy dreamers defile the flesh? That's kind of a broad term because, you know, people who go out and abuse themselves doing drugs and partying and stuff like that, they're not sodomites necessarily, right? People get wrapped up into that sort of stuff. You're defiling your flesh. We get that. This is a different kind of a defilement that we're talking about here in Jude. So just keep that in mind, okay? So how do they do that? Well, they do that by perverting the truths of God. They do that by taking what God has ordained, what he has appointed, and they turn that upside down completely. And I'm going to prove that to you. Genesis 1, look at verse number 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So very important here to understand what's going on. What did God say? Let us. Right. Trinity. That's right. The Trinity is right there. Let us make man in our image. So what would a filthy dreamer do in this situation? He would not be content with that truth and want to change that. Is everybody following me? What else do they like to do? We'll look at the rest of the verse. So it says, "And let them have dominion over the fish in the sea." You know, a lot of these sodomite freaks go down to the beaches and go down to the rivers and try to stop people from fishing. They say that's rude, that's mean, that's hurtful, right? And they hate Jesus Christ because obviously he promoted eating fish. This is true. Animal rights. What group of people back these animal rights? Look, animals have more rights than babies. Animals have more rights than we do. Sodomites are dogs. They have more rights than we do. Well, because they turn everything that God has ordained upside down, turn it and pull it inside out. Right? That's what he's saying here. So God says, hey, we made man, meaning the Trinity, and we want them to have dominion over the animal kingdom. The sodomite says, no, you can't make me male. You can't tell me what gender I am, God. How dare you try to tell me what to do? And then they say, oh, and we're supposed to be over the animal kingdom? Well, that's mean. You're mean. I don't like that. Look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God creates you. God is the one that says in the womb, you will be male, you will be female. And you know what? You can chop everything you want. You ain't changing the chromosomes. It ain't going to happen. You can take all the cocktails, all the injections, eat all the soy that you want. It ain't going to change the fact that God made you male or female. This is the truth. But today we have people who say, I am not content with that. I am not comfortable with that. I want to change that, and I have that right. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Well, there you go. These people don't like that. They don't like that either. We need to have a one-child policy just like China. The earth's overpopulated. We're all going to die. There's not enough resources going around. And replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. So again, filthy dreamers. How do they defile the flesh? Well, they do it in several ways. Many ways that you can't even be spoken about, okay? But ones that can be spoken about is they like to change or appear to change their gender. Because God said, I made male, I made female, and I want you guys to have dominion over the animal kingdom and the earth. But yet we have people today, several people today, that say, you know what? I am not content with that. Why can't I just be fluid? Like Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm a dude. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm a girl. And then on Sunday, I just kind of bounce back and forth depending on my mood and how many injections I've taken that day. And, you know, why can't we do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God made them male and female. So the question is a transgender a sodomite? Does a transgender person qualify as being called a sodomite? The answer is obviously yes. Those people were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, did they have the technology and the pills and the potions? I don't know what they had, right? It's all been roasted by fire and brimstone, okay? But there's nothing new under the sun. And what these beasts do today in our sight and what they promote today in our sight, where do you think that all came from? It came from that era. It came from that time. They do the same things. This is why God looked down and said, this is disgusting. I'm, you know, the earth's already beginning to vomit these people out. I'm just going to blow them out and be done with it. And it'll be great. Be an example for the rest of the people in the world to hopefully follow and adhere to. But let's move on here. So let's answer this question. Is a transgender person a sodomite? Romans chapter 1, very familiar to all of us. Look at verse 18. It says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, this is key here. This is very important to understand that these filthy dreamers, these sodomites, they know the truth. Don't say, oh, no, they don't. Yes, they do, because God has revealed it to them. Look at verse 19. It says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Case closed. It's a done deal. They know the truth. This is why when you go up to these people and you see the sign in the window and it's like, we are everywhere. We're not going anywhere. Love is love. Joy is joy. Peace, peace. You know, and they come there and they just start talking trash, or they want to fight, or they want to do something to you. You know why? It's because they know what the Bible says. Look, I've talked to somebody at the door and I've given them the gospel and they've completely understood it and then told me, by the way, I'm a homosexual. Whoa! You know, dang, if I would have known that, I'd have been out. Look, Kai Lynn, when she was probably, 11, 12, 10, she was a talker. Getting people saved left and right. I'm serious, knocking on people's doors. And she knocked on this guy's door in Tacoma, Washington. I'll never forget this, right? The guy had kind of, you know, longish blonde hair. Didn't have a list, didn't have anything, didn't have no flags or signs. You know, and she's going through the whole routine with him. Gave him the whole gospel presentation just like any one of us would. And then at the end of that, this faggot's boyfriend comes out of nowhere and starts rubbing his shoulders, right? I'm like, ooh, we're out of here. That traumatized my daughter, and I'm still pissed off about it to this very day. We're walking away, and she goes, Daddy, I didn't know that was a faggot, right? And she said it loud, right? And they both looked at me, and I was like, if they say one word, you're good. I'm going to knock both of them out. Yeah, I was ready to scrap. I was so pissed off. I couldn't even think straight. I mean, I'm getting mad now, and I'm like, how am I going to finish the sermon? Just telling you guys the story. But just their existence defiles people and children, and they defiled her. They made it so where now she's afraid to talk a little bit out of the door. She's getting better and getting back to it, but it was a traumatizing event. This is what's out there, and we have to be aware of that. We have to be careful with that, okay? But anyways, when she was given the gospel, like this guy was following along, like he knew. Like he's, oh, I know that verse. I know this. Oh, yeah, it's not by works. And like, he knew more than these liberal churches do. He knew more than they do. But yet he rejected it. And it's because of what's written right here. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So if they're without excuse, why are we making excuses for them as a nation, as churches? Why are independent fundamental Baptist churches making excuses for these people that the Bible clearly says are without excuse? That is wrong in so many ways. Look at verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So again, they became vain in their imaginations. And one of those inventions, one of those imaginations is, you know what? I imagine myself as a different gender, right? I imagine myself as a baby. What's Biden's health director's name? Does anybody know? It doesn't matter. Scumbag fag, tranny dyke fag. I mean, that's, he's a TDF, right? We're going to get shut down. But anyways, our YouTube channel's done. But anyway, look at verse 22. It says, professing themselves to become wise, or to be wise, they became fools. And you can see this with all of them. Yep. They want to sit there and tell you that they've got some secret revelation figured out that no one else does. That is what they do. Right. And they flock to colleges and the rest is history. Look at verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And we're going to talk about that here a little bit deeper in a minute. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now notice this. Through the lust of their own hearts. to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And that would encompass transgender people, okay? That would encompass all of it. All perversion, all of this sick, twisted garbage that's out there, this bestiality, this transgender crap, these fags, all of that stuff is right here. Yep. Yeah. Right? It all starts with them thinking that they know more than God, that they deserve more than what God has given them. And then you can see the progression, okay? Verse 25, it talks about they change the truth of God into a lie. Verse 26, God says, for this cause God gave them up unto these vile affections. So again, this is the progression here. God says, I'm done with you. I'm going to remove that restraint that I built into you that makes it so that you don't do those exceeding sinful things, those uncommon things. God removes that and expects the government to deal with them, because that's why he instituted government for judgment against these types of people, right? But like I said, they don't follow it. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, meaning which was suitable. So again, it starts with the rejection of God, and then anything can happen from there. You got people, I identify as a dog. I identify as a child. I identify as a baby. I'm a minor attracted person. No, you need to have your head blown off is what you need. That is what you need. I'm a map. I'm a minor attracted. No, you need to die is what you need. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Is it convenient to try to change your gender? No. That's not convenient. That's expensive. At least it is right now until they make it free from our tax dollars. But either way, there's a lot of pain and suffering involved. And what's usually the result of that? It's suicide. That's the end goal there. It's suicide. And these satanic bastards that control the government, they know that. And I mean, think about it. They're trying to kill us all anyways, right? They're poisons. You know the story. They ain't going to be able to hurt us, though. We can't be able to take our lives. Look at verse 30. Well, verse 29, I'm sorry. And so you can see the progression. So if you, like Brother Dave was talking about, he's like, I can predict how these people are, at the door when I meet one. I know that in 5 years when I come back, you're either going to be locked up or married to a dog or something stupid like that. And it's because the Bible lays all this out for you. This is the progression. This is what's going to happen to these people. They're filled with all unrighteousness. This is why, if you don't know this, here's where you need to learn this. Here's why we say that all queers are pedophiles. Because they're all capable of it. Because they're all filled with all unrighteousness. Not just some unrighteousness, but all of it. All of it. That's what it says there, right? Being filled, these people who are reprobates, who have a rejected mindset. See, we're not dealing with the sin. We're dealing with the mind. A reprobate mind, which God gives people after they have rejected him. It says being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, malignity. These people are so malignant. You ever work with them? Yeah. Right? They're lazy, making up excuses and, oh, I've got the coronavirus. I got to take 2 weeks off. It's like, didn't you already quarantine for like 5 times already? I mean, like when's this going to stop? But they're lazy. They're malignant. They're all of these things here. But look at verse 30, backbiters, haters of God. Don't ever let anybody tell you, oh, they don't hate God. They love God. No, I'll give you this. They love the God that they've made up in their own mind, okay? Yeah. But they hate the God of the Bible, the capital G God. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. It says they're despiteful, proud. Why do they have the Pride Month, okay? Boasters of evil, inventors of evil things, rather. Disobedient to parents. I don't know too many parents that want their kids to switch genders, okay? It's just very... Now, unfortunately, it's going to come a point where, some people are going to be okay with it. But verse 31 says, without understanding, remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. These people have no understanding. Don't let them tell you what the Bible says. No, we are saved. We will tell you what it says. We will have to translate it for you because they are without understanding. They're covenant breakers, without natural affection. It's not natural to hate the gender God made you. That is unnatural. Implacable and unmerciful. These people are impossible to placate. It's not like the kids, we all give you a little snack and okay, I'm cool. Right? Or your dirt bag at work that's lazy. All right, come on, man, if you just do this task, I'll give you a treat. You know, okay, fine, I'll do it. No, these people are never satisfied. Right? Remember, I can remember back in the 80s, they just wanted to be left alone and accepted in public without fear of harassment or being beat or whatever. Now they want to literally take your soul. That's what they want. They want your soul. If they could be ghost, you know, go get that Ghostbusters machine and suck the soul out of you, man, they would do it in a heartbeat. These people are so wicked and evil. Verse 32, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is why they have all these networks like NAMBLA, right? And all their other little tranny dyke fag groups. The reason why they have that is because they take pleasure in each other and the unlawful deeds that they do. And their wickedness and their exceeding unnatural acts, okay? Now, real quickly, go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter number 16. And so all of that, you know, one thing that I've noticed here in, ever since I started going into people's houses doing appliance repair, I've picked this up. Sometimes you can't always tell who you're dealing with, but I can almost guarantee it after the third or fourth goat picture that I see in the house. There's something about goats in their houses. And I've been keeping track of this for a long time. Okay, just not too long ago, I was over at a house somewhere off of Overland, just before Orchard. There's a little community over there. And went over there to do a refrigerator. And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, there's a picture of a goat on the stove. Most people have like pictures of kids or a lot of these subdivisions. They got pictures of Russell Nelson. I'd much rather see that than a goat. Okay. You know, they've got the Quorum of 12 Apostles and stuff. I was like, okay, whatever, man. Hopefully we can get you saved, whatever. But when I start to see the goat, I'm like, okay, there's one goat. And I look for the other one. And then I look in the family room and boom, big, big old picture of just a goat. What the hell's going on here? And then start to realize, you know, there's a connection between the devil and sodomites. And that's often represented today by a goat, right? Who's ever heard of Baphomet? This goat-like creature, this hermaphrodite, right? You see these pictures of Baphomet. He's got his hand, one hand pointing to heaven, one hand pointing down. It's supposed to symbolize as above, so as below, this yin-yang type garbage. He's half man, half lowercase god, half beast. Male and female both, right? And that's what we're dealing with today. Yep. And so I think instinctively the devil is just like, hey, like goats. And so they just put them up all over the house or something. It's really weird. I went to another house the other day and I was like, that's weird. They've got a statue of a little statue of a goat out in the front door. I'm like, oh man, no, not again, you know? I go in the house, I can't tell. Everything looks completely normal. And it's a dude, and by the end of the call, I'm like, yep, there's another goat. And just like, thank you. He pulls out a credit card with a sod flag. And I'm like, oh, man, it's so true. These people just love their goats. Why is that? Well, again, knowing how these filthy dreamers live and how they act, they turn everything that God says upside down, inside out. I want to show you something here. Look at Leviticus 16, verse 5. It says this, and he shall take, so God's giving instructions here on how to deal with the different offerings and stuff for the priests. In verse 5, he says, and he shall take, so the priest, and he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Look at verse 6, and Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Look at verse 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Verse 10, but the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 real quick. So in the Bible, oftentimes you'll see that goats are not necessarily depicted in the most righteous manner, okay? Sheep go to the right, goats go to the what? To the left. Goats are often symbol or pictured bad. They often represent sin or people that reject God, okay? You say, well, why is that important? What's the deal here? Well, notice where the scapegoat runs to, out into the wilderness. Do you think it's a coincidence here in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 4, that it says this? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Wow, that's good. Yeah. That's interesting to me because think about this. These Sodomites, before they became Sodomites, what did we read in Romans? Right? They're already living in a state where they reject God, right? And they oftentimes get this vain imagination and they decide to go out into the wild and explore things. See, Jesus went into the wilderness where there was no, obviously by reading the chapter, right? 40 days without food, without water, and the devil's like, hey, I got food, I got water, I got kingdoms, I got whatever you want to. Right? He's always out there in the wilderness waiting. He's in the wild waiting for people. But you see that, how the goat there is depicted with a sense of these satanic people, they love that because they're like, well, the Bible says that in the Old Testament, the goats were supposed to symbolically, you know, bear the sins of the people and go out in the wilderness, be burnt, you know, and all this stuff. And they say, well, we like that. We want to use that to represent us because they're beasts, they're dogs, they're evil, they're satanic. That is what they are. They belong to their father, the devil, because he's full of unrighteousness, and so are these people. But I don't think it's a coincidence that in Leviticus 16 that we see that picture of that goat going out to the wilderness. And that's what we see today, is people herding out into the wild. And if you are not prepared for that, you will meet the devil and he will completely change your eternal destination. And so I think that's kind of the beginnings there of this whole Baphomet thing. People said, you know, I'm going to go out into the wild and do my own thing. And the devil's like, here's this picture. You can, yea, hath God said you're male? No. What he meant is you're just going to have to do a lot of work to be a female. And that your eyes would be open to the possibilities that are out there and the fluidity and blah, blah, blah. It's wickedness. It's disgusting is what it is. So, again, you know, these satanic people, these TDFs, they do the will of their father, the devil. And it's no wonder that they're going to promote his imagery in their homes and in the community. You know, a lot of these these Christian music artists, a lot of times you'll see very vague symbols of this Baphomet figure. It won't be just outright blatant, but who's putting that stuff in there? Why are they doing that? They're doing that to catch the eye and to subliminally snare society. That is what it's for. It's all to recruit people. All of this stuff plays together. And so again, the application for this, you know, the pervert, what they do is they promote what they perceive as truth. They take the truth of God and they just turn it into a lie. Right. Okay? And so the whole point is, how do we respond to this? What do we do? Well, I mean, it's very simple. It's Jude 1:7. It's learning, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, right? Strange flesh. It's strange to be a transgender. It's strange to lust after animals. It's strange to lust after children. It's strange to lust after the same gender. But the Bible says that they are set forth for an example. We are supposed to know the fact they are in hell. There ain't no getting out. And we are supposed to apply that to our lives any way that is legally possible. And the way that we do that today is that we do not allow them into our personal lives. We do not allow them into our churches. And by so doing, we are safer. Yep. Because these people violate every chance they get because they are filled with all unrighteousness. Okay. So to answer the question, is a transgender person a sodomite? Yep. Yes, 100%. True, they are sodomites. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for just giving us a heart to be able to receive these hard type truths, Lord. This is not a pleasant subject, not something that is easy to teach and to preach in our lives, let alone in church. And I would just pray that you would continue to bless our efforts out in the community, Lord. Please help us to be able to even expound this truth to people that may be confused or just not aware of it, Lord, that we may save them a lot of unnecessary pain and trials in their own lives and help people out, Lord. And we thank you for this wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.